You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is the plague at all a threat in the modern day?
No.
The Wire.
No, my hoki, my anō. Welcome back to The Wire on 95BFM. Once again, if you have any thoughts on the pieces we played today, please give us a text on 53955 or give us a call on 309-3879. Recently, AI-enabled CCTV cameras, number plate recognition systems, and other smart technologies have been rolled out in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. While information about these technologies is currently limited, what is known is that they're primarily being used to detect traffic violations at the moment, although ethical concerns have been raised about how this technology could be used in the future. I speak to Dr. Mohsen Mohammadzadeh, a senior lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning in the Faculty of Engineering and Design at the University of Auckland, about the rollout of this new AI-enabled surveillance technology and its ethical implications. To begin, can you give us an idea of the kind of AI-enabled surveillance technologies that are being rolled out in Auckland at the moment?
It's a very good question. The thing is that it's not quite clear what type of technologies they are using, to be honest. You know, it's not quite clear because the service providers, you know, they didn't inform, and also the users, the organization and agencies didn't explain that clearly, you know, what kind of technologies or what kind of the algorithms they are using behind this kind of CCTVs. We know that roughly about some models that are an algorithm, especially reading the cars and vehicles plates. But, you know, as a person working in this kind of area around 15 years, I'm not sure. I think it's more beyond that kind of reading the plates. And yeah, it's not quite clear. It's one of the problems we have regarding this kind of technologies. You know, we don't know about the limits and what type of the technology they are using clearly.
So what information do we have about these technologies at the moment?
We know that for example, CCTVs, we have them for a long time. I can say that from the 70s and 80s, you know, it's quite popular type of technology used, especially for different purposes, especially for providing, you know, security and this kind of things, especially in the cities. And in the 80s, it's become quite popular in downtowns, especially to create a kind of more surveillance and kind of the gaze on the indefensible urban spaces. So it's not new, but what's new, and I think it's what they are doing and what I read and I understand so far, is that when this old technology CCTV is attached to a kind of the pool of the data, and we know that when we are speaking about AI connects to the data and urban data, we name it. So it will be like the registry numbers of the cars as the plates, addresses, and so that kind of the machines, they have access to that sort of the data collected from us. So what they are saying that actually these CCTVs, when they capture a plate or something, they refer to the pool, extract the name and the plate and everything and addresses of the owner and everything. So you will ticket it, for example, automatically. There is no human involved, which is somehow helpful in some aspects in comparison to the previous type of the technologies we had, which is the human-based type of surveillance, CCTVs. But also it has some limitations and some, you know, concerns I might have regarding privacy issues and also the democratic values we have in this country, you know. So it's one of the aspects.
So as you mentioned, these surveillance technologies are mainly being used to read license plates and look for traffic violations.
It's what they are saying. You know, but, you know, it's not just the information about the cars. When we are asking about the cars, obviously it includes the owner's name, addresses, and range of the other information associated with these plates. So, yes, these machines, they connected to that pool and they can extract and automatically, you know, for example, ticket people or kind of to put punishments for that, yeah.
Is it possible that these technologies could be expanded to go into the realms of maybe facial recognition or collecting personal data as well?
Definitely. It's one of the concerns, to be honest. First of all, it has some elements of the personal information there, because all plates, as I mentioned, that connects to the, you know, addresses of people, names, and, you know, there. And most of the New Zealanders so far, we are registered as a Realme. You know, and Realme, if you look at what happens there, it's a collection of information about the biometrics of us and also some other essential information about who we are and something like that. Definitely some of this type of technologies are able actually to recognize us, but I'm not sure actually they are using this type of technology. It's not quite clear, but the type of the technology came around, I can say, 7-8 years back, you know, the HP CCTVs, they had that kind of capacities, you know, to kind of the using embodiments, you know, and biometrics to recognize people, you know, facial recognitions and range of the things. So, but the good thing about New Zealand is that we have a privacy commissioner. And everything, you know, they just, you know, observing and somehow try to regulate it, which is quite helpful. But still, we don't know what extent they are using this kind of technologies. Yeah.
So, as you mentioned earlier, why might human-operated surveillance technology be better than these AI-enabled surveillance technologies?
Not necessarily human is better. There are two type of things here. It depends, you know, what kind of the values we have, you know, when we are using this kind of technologies, human or non-human, you know, so it doesn't matter. The most important thing, for example, in the past, we had this kind of questions, even in the security ones, who's observing us? Who can trust the you know, we didn't know if a person behind the, you know, that kind of the scenes observing us, it's a rightful person, it's a kind of the trustworthy person. So it was a kind of the concern at that time. And sometimes people use that actually for their, you know, their personal type of, you know, interest there. For example, in 90s, it was a kind of the huge discussion in academia, especially regarding feminism. Because we know that, for example, with all respect to the security guards, but more the male ones. And sometimes, you know, with people behind that kind of CCTVs maybe targeted a female one, you know, just following. So it's a kind of the, you know, it was one of the issues. We didn't know who's observing and what's the purpose and who has access to it. Now, automation solves this kind of the issues because obviously machines, they are not potentially not sexist or kind of the thing. But we have another type of the problem here. Machines, they are working based, you know, they are working with, people assume that because they are machines, they are neutral. They are not neutral. They are working based on the predefined algorithms. And also, this kind of machines, they can learn. And what kind of the knowledge they have is it's a statistical ones. They are working based on the codes. So when you look to the kind of the AI, how they read things, they look, for example, in some cases and some cases we have in the US and UK, they realize that actually some of the AI-driven CCTVs that are quite biased against the African Americans because the number of the prisoners, you know, African Americans, quite higher than the other ethnicities and other groups there. So automatically, machine based on the learning, you know, data-driven ones, consider that particular groups as a threat automatically. So it's a kind of the problem here. So potentially, that kind of technology can be used, you know, for social sorting. We name it, you know, based on ethnicity, gender, or some other, characteristics we have.
So can you see that kind of technology being used to surveillance marginalized groups here in New Zealand more heavily as well?
Definitely. If it's a kind of the cases in around the world shows that actually it's a kind of the threat. So because of that, we should have a quite transparency regarding using this kind of technologies and also all the time having kind of the check tools, you know, check boxes to be sure all the algorithms that are used, that are working based on our values and protect the people's rights, you know, minorities and interests of the people. Because we should not forget why we are using this kind of technologies. It's kind of things I'm teaching all the time to students because I'm teaching a course, a smart city planning. And as a planners or designers, policymakers, most of the time we are using this kind of technologies. We should not forget. Why we are using technologies. We want to provide better service for human, for people. People is the center, not technology itself. Efficiency, when we are thinking of the efficiency and productivity, we want to have efficiency and productivity for people. So it's a kind of the moral and ethical question, you know, when we want to implement any type of new technologies, including CCTVs, AI-driven ones, do they create a kind of the harm for people, any group, you know? So. If yes, then potentially we need to think how we can regulate it, how we can mitigate that kind of side effects and consequences. And I think, it's very important to somehow be transparent, you know, and explain that clearly for different groups why we are using this kind of technologies, what type of the technologies are used, and who owns the data, who will have access to data. It's a kind of the important thing. If the organization, agencies, they want to use this kind of technology like AI-driven CCTVs, they need to be transparent about all aspects of it. And it's very essential because the system working based on trust. If people are losing trust about, you know, organizations, they will not follow the orders and then it will be quite problematic. Mm-hmm. So keeping that kind of trust through the transparency and providing information, you know, is a key thing here.
And finally, in your opinion, what's the best way to approach maintaining public safety through surveillance while also protecting people's privacy rights?
It's a very good question. It's quite hard to answer. The problem here is that actually, first, you know, we need to provide enough information and accessible type of information for everyone, which means that, you know, for example, when organizations provide a kind of guidelines or campaign to inform people why they are using CCTVs, they need to use a kind of the languages is accessible and for everyone, you know, not necessarily for academics or people that are, because we know that when we have a consenting form, sometimes they are quite long and very complex. People just tick boxes and then go, which is quite not right ethically, you know. But when you want to really engage with people, create that kind of transparency, you need to provide very clear and accessible type of the information for everyone, you know, in the society, and inform them why we are using this kind of technologies, what's the benefits, what kind of the threats, and also what kind of the systems we have as a kind of the norms and values behind this, as a kind of algorithm base, you know, and who will own the data. Because sometimes service providers are not local. They are not following or regulations or, you know, acts here. They are working with, you know, they are international ones. So it would be so hard for people actually to follow, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a one aspect of it. But another problem we have, and I'm a bit somehow with the organizations when they are using this kind of technologies, technology's progress is so fast. You know, it's technology is changing quite fast, and which is good. But our bureaucratic system regulations, they are quite slow, you know. So all the time, we have a kind of the gap between the technology and existing regulation and acts. That kind of the window between these two, or a gap between these two, it's a kind of gray area, and it's kind of the most challenging one. We need to think about this all the time, you know, as a policymakers, planners, or the ones we want to use this kind of information or the kind of technologies, in especially in the public spaces. We need to provide that kind of the feedback to the organizations or the kind of people in charge. Because as a planners, for example, we cannot prepare laws, you know. We can report it, and then potential lawyers and the other people that are, you know, they prepare that kind of regulation acts, you know, reflect on it. But that kind of window is a problematic all the time.
And that was Dr. Mohsen Mohammadzadeh from the University of Auckland talking to us about the rollout of AI-enabled surveillance technology in Auckland and its ethical implications. Someone texted in earlier asking about where they can find the Eventbrite page for the seminar that Dr. Ritesh Shah will be speaking at. We will be posting the link for that on the bcast of the previous interview, which you can find on 95bfm.com/bcasts. It should be available in about maybe half an hour, so check again then.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.